So someone comes to you and they say, hey, God has told me to tell you, hey, go to Africa and become a missionary. Somebody comes to you and says, I've had a dream. God showed me a dream and you're to go to Alaska and live among the Eskimo. Someone else might come to you and say, you know what? God gave me a vision, a waking vision. And he showed me that you're to sell all of your properties and you're to give it away to, well, everyone else and take off for China. What if somebody comes to the single girl and says, God says I'm to be your husband and God says that it's his will for you to marry me? What if he's not so handsome? What about God says? What about false prophecy? What about false counterfeit visions and dreams and leadings? One of the most dramatic, and listen, here's where we find the real. Acts chapter 8, there is Philip's. Philip is filled with the Spirit of God, and he's out doing the will of God, evangelizing. The fruit is being bore, even under great threat. He continues to do the will of God, the Great Commission. And in the process of that, well, he has an angelic visitation to tell him to go in what direction. And then he quotes how the Holy Spirit says, go stand over there by that man. Well, the man that was in the chariot. And in that supernatural leading, it led right to the man in the chariot, the eunuch, getting saved, getting baptized, and Philip moving on from there. Now, that is the picture of God leading, God directing, God guiding. The Spirit of God, the signs, wonders, miracles, and charismatic gifts of God, the answers to prayer, the visitation of God, well, his word, his works, his character, inseparable. Very important that we know him well, know his spirit well, know his word well, know how he works very well. And we have the right, and we are commanded in the book of 1 John, test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Now that's vital. Because today as we jump in to touch a little bit about the Herald camping debacle, false prophecy. We're also going to touch in this context the 2012, well, the ramping up and what it all means here in 2011. Now, the amazing thing is, and I only gave you in the first week perceptions. I made it very clear from the website and all the content that we wrote. I'm not a prophet. I'm not prophesying. But based on the study of the word, on things that are going on around us, I'm just simply giving perceptions that I see. And one of these things I'm going to tell you again is that 2011 is going to go very, very quick. And so we have this next week that we are doing this series, and the theme has been the events, the chaos, and the buzz that rocks the first 10 days. Now, we're here on Friday the 14th, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we're already jumping into the 14th day. And so many things have occurred, so many dramatic things have occurred, that other things that once were dramatic in the first few days, including the mail bombs, the powder, and some of the other threats, well, they've come off the media circuit. In Arizona, and a crazed man has become the focus. And now the healing, and now the other issues are moving along. Well, listen, it's vital that we take a look because there's one fella out there that is prophesying the rapture is going to occur in May 2011. And it's very important for us to already know. Now, this is important. Just like when individuals came to the church I was pastoring back in the 80s and brought a basket of little books. It said 88 Reasons Why Christ Will Come in 88. Instantly, I stopped the individual and I said, no, you're not going to put those out in the church. No, I began to look at the little thing, a little booklet, and began to read through it and eventually read through all of it. But right then and there, Holy Spirit check. Once I began to look, clearly, Word of God check. And we've got to be discerning at the same time that we are also unleashing truth and unleashing the gospel and unleashing what is the will of God. Now, there are some things that this Harold Camping tells everybody. I'm going to get into that in a little bit. Listen, you're listening to Shatter the Darkness Live, the website shatterthedarkness.net. And we are glad that so many of you come here. We have courses and conference material and hundreds of MP3s for everyone. We're noticing that it's going out to 90 countries. We are glad for that. And again, we take time to pray over all those areas where the downloads are going. And we're glad that some of you contact us. We're glad and rejoice and bring praise to God as individuals confess they've accepted Christ and turn to Jesus, coming out of the new age or coming out of darkness or coming out of other things and have come to Christ. And we're in the process of, talking evangelistically with some, in the process of deliverance issues with some, inner healing with some. And we are glad that God has so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever, and that includes the dear Chinese and the Russians. I'm not dealing with politics. I'm dealing with lives. Jesus didn't die for politics. He died for the sum total, the words, pos, anthropos, there in second chapter of Timothy, the sum total of humanity. So wherever you are, wherever you're listening, 101.3 there in Boulder City, Nevada. All over in satellite, where you're receiving it by satellite or internet or by archives later on. We love you. We're going to say that we're grateful for the friends that write and talk about how they pray for us and encourage. And we're grateful for that. And we're trying to get back, and we're getting back to almost everybody, but not everybody, but almost. We're doing much better in catching up on the emails and so forth. And the Facebook thing, well, only I can only give, listen, totally in a day, maybe about 20 minutes of interaction. And there's been some great interaction. A new dear friend has written and invited to be on a radio program and asked if I'd like to preach in some churches up around New York and New Jersey. Wow. You got to realize, there's an agenda this year. There's things we're praying about. There's books that need to get out, materials that need to get out, and so many things. We're packed with what we need and what God really is having us do. And this is one of the primary things, of course, but we have other broadcasts and other courses and training materials. And the big one starts, well, it's going to be coming out late tonight, so maybe look for it tomorrow morning. We probably will not put it up till very late tonight. And that is simply, the title is Acts, A-T-C-S. And that's the book of Acts with the subtitle Field Manual for the End of Days. Because it has everything in there. It has the living Christ, the work of the Spirit of God, the mission of God, the advance of the kingdom, and all that it entails. Based on the fact Jesus said, go into all the world, make disciples, of course, baptizing them and teaching them everything. And then Jesus said these words, I am with you always to the very end of the age. Christian, the Lord stands by your side, indwells you, is with you, and will be operative among his mission. If you want to see God at work, do his mission. He calls forth his mission. He blesses and empowers his mission. He attends to his mission, the gospel to the world. And we read in prophecy that he's not going to visibly return until that gospel has gone to the whole world. Last I checked, it hasn't gotten to every single human being. Prophetic scripture shows us that God's will is accomplished ultimately. But all of Scripture shows us two things that everybody's going to encounter the next from now to the next 6 months. Two things are very clear. Harold Camping, the false prophecy of the rapture in May is false and wrong and misleading and distracting. And the 2012 spiritual push and drive and watch and ramping up is also. And I'm going to tell you why. Massively, listen, a deceit and a deception. We'll get to that in a few moments. I want to say welcome to all those new listening, the voice you're listening to, Russ Dizdar. And Listen, there's bio and there's information if you need that on the website, www.shatterthedarkness.net. We'll welcome you to go there if you need to. And take a look at things. We'll try to put up things. And again, as we mentioned, when the new newsletter comes out late tonight, tomorrow, we have a lot of courses, and we're giving an update on all those courses and some of those that are being fixed that will be placed up there. And it looks like we're going to be able to recover all the ones that were, well, the majority are already there, and a few that have been broken, we've been trying to work out how to refix, you know, fix those and have those back up. And the new courses that are beginning immediately, and as much as we can try to do. I want to say that we're going to be excited to come to Groton, I believe it's called Connecticut. Isn't that it, right? Yep, that's it. Groton, Connecticut. This is a New England conference and a whole region up there. It's called CSEE, March 25th, 26th, 27th. And the moment I'm given website links and so forth, I'll link you to that. But for those of the folks up there on the East Coast, and I've been there before and did a conference years ago on a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. They took me to Boston. They took me to Salem. And we engaged a richly abused individual, and it was and we got some good friends up there, Mark and his wife, and we hope that they're going to be able to come. I hope to see them, but we're looking forward to this. All believers, we're asking for massive prayer concerning the conference called C. Now, there's also the conference the week later, April the 1st and 2nd. It's going to be, listen, great speakers and great content. The Politics of Religion, April 1st and 2nd, Fort Wayne, Indiana. We have a picture of their banner up, and we've been invited also to do a part. And so we're looking forward to seeing good friends there and being a part of that. And hoping that you will plan on coming too. Most of the time, these conferences don't cost hardly anything. And we just hope that you'll be able to come and be a part of it and put the prayers in. And we are going to look more and more and more for personal ministry during these times in interacting with you. We're glad to be here on this Friday night, the 14th. We've got ministry late night to do. We got a lot of snow around here. It's a little bit, a little bit melting today, but it's going to get cold tonight again and more snow. 3 more inches, I guess I heard. So I'm not sure where we're going to be tonight, if we're going to be out late tonight. During January and February, when there's a lot of the snow, we're simply not going to be a lot of places. And the big urgency is to finish 2 books, Awesome Grace, Awesome Power, and Seeing Into the Future. Because when those are done and pumped out, we will immediately begin the other two, or at least try to, well, they're partially done. One's called R-1919, Armageddon. And all the things that lead up to it. And the other one is The Abyss. And we hope to have so much. We have a series on The Abyss. We hope that you can take a look at that. It's all free, 7 hours. And if you're a new believer, please, and if you're struggling in any way with doubts, on the left-hand side of the website, shatterthedarkness.net, Dynamic Discipleship. And we have at least 7 or 8 hours of good discipleship material for you. There's also a Blaze for God. There's some devotional studies for you. There's Freedom Encounters, Theocentric Counseling, God the Holy Spirit. The Spiritual Gifts ones will be up this weekend. The Book of Daniel's up. And there will be Preemption Systematic Theology. There's also Confronting the Powers, Exposing Satanism 101. Sexual Decadence in the End of Man, that whole 20-some hour one, looks like we've been able to get a hold of it, and we may have to run all the hours all back up all over again, but again, that's been the goal this week, to recover it and put it back up. I don't know what exactly occurred, but we lost 2 or 3 of the courses, and it looks like we're going to be able to get up, I think, all of them. And otherwise, we have to redo them. And people are asking. And the Spiritual Warfare Basics one, I'm hoping that even late tonight, with the newsletter, we'll able to be able to re-upload, which takes a while because it involves hours and hours of sessions. That one should be up too. So anyway, there it is, and here we are, and we're glad to be here with you. We don't have commercials. We don't have commercial products and other things to sell you, really. We just simply say that if you think what is done here in the work of Shatter the Darkness, Preemption Broadcast, the weekend broadcasts, and the field work that's being done, if you feel that it's beneficial and that it would benefit others, just look at the website where it says support, right down there by the archives. And if you're, you know, we need that support, and if you'd like to help out, that's our commercial inviting you to be a part of keeping us on the field. Thank you for that, and we appreciate it. Glad to hear again from a number of individuals, and one individual has written to me. I'm not going to say the name, and you'll understand why. They've written to me, and they're going to be going down among the Mayan temples. And this individual, Brave, has written to me saying they're going down there, and they're going to begin to pray against a lot of the dark spirits and the spiritual stuff down there, and they're going to see about engaging some of the things. So I sent them an email today to say, how's it going? I don't even know if they're back yet or, you know, I don't know the timeline, but I just want them to know we're praying for them down there, that we also, a number of us, are planning to come down into that area. We're not going to designate when, but only tell afterwards all that occurred. Now, if, again, if you're interested in going, and if we know you, if some of the leaders going down know, you know, then we can connect and go down. Otherwise, it's going to be kind of a closed group going down there the first time around anyway. But let's not forget that that place is literally, spiritually speaking to the world and has involved astronomers and astrologists, has involved theoretical physicists. They've involved mass media. There are books and documentaries and films and more and more and more. And I said that's one of my perceptions, that 2011 will be eclipsed by all the stuff that's spoken about concerning December 21st, 2012. And the issue here is that it's not good because of the source. And that's what we're going to get into tonight. Let me begin tonight with talking about, a simple word of God. There were believers that they're believers in Christ. The Spirit of God dwelt in them. They had the content, basically, of Scripture. Yet, in their development, and this can happen, listen, this can happen, they were challenged about the parousia, that is the arrival, the coming, usually associated with the catching up of the saints. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1, the Spirit of God begins by talking about, you know, the parousia, the coming of our Lord Jesus and our being gathered to Him. Now, that's the subject matter. And the reason for the subject matter is because, well, a number of things have occurred. False reports, false prophecies, and even pseudo writings have come saying, hey, this is from Paul, this is from an apostle, and the day of the Lord's already occurred. Now, they were shaken, they were disturbed, their peace was, and I'm going to tell you right now, that's what the enemy's, you'll never find God trying to disturb you in building your faith. God's all about building your faith, giving you the word of faith, this living word, this word of life, this word of grace, and getting the content of the word of God in your life. That's what God's all about. And it's all about building your life and strengthening your life and God calling us to be stronger. That's why it's so vital to be there, you know, in His presence, growing in His word. And that's just simply how it works. Now, if you read verse 2 in that same chapter, you're going to see you're going to see basically the reasons why it was written. It was written to counter what was false and then to reapply what was true. And out of the need for this comes this great, even larger revelation of end time events. Chapter 2 in 2 Thessalonians is one of the great, great chapters bringing the panoramic view of the end time events. And this is a very important principle. Number one, how was prophecy given before in the Old Testament to the New? How was it fulfilled? Well, they didn't use allegory. They didn't use numerology. They didn't use outside calculations. They didn't need to twist scripture. The scripture was clear about a virgin being with child. It was clear about Judas going to do the betrayal for 30 pieces of silver. It was clear concerning Herod and the babies being killed. It was clear concerning a suffering servant. It was clear concerning, matter of fact, over 300 prophecies concerning the first coming of Christ. And one way we can look at prophecy today is, how was it done in the past? Let's look at the sheer accuracy. And if you want to see just simply how it is observed, read the Gospel of Matthew, where it constantly gives reference to fulfilled prophecy in the exact and detailed and plain meaning of the prophetic word of the Old Testament and the fulfillment into the New as Jesus came. Now, it's vital to understand that it involves, you know, his birth and his growing and his life, his words, his deeds. It involves so many things, places, and all that was, and it involves the resurrection of Christ, spoken about 1,000 years before he came, Psalm chapter 16. Now, it's an amazing thing, all these prophecies, and let me say this, it was massive communication from God. And layer upon layer and detail upon detail of putting together, this is why I mentioned 1 Peter 10, chapter 1, verse 10, 11. Because back then, the prophets were searching intently all these prophetic scriptures by the Spirit of Christ that was operative in them long before Christ came. Here, the eternal Christ, the Logos, well, he's always existed. And so operating in them is the Spirit of Christ examining the prophecies intently and carefully. And I want to say this, systematically, to know them well. And they're looking, as they're looking at all of them, they're looking for the times, the circumstances, to get a picture of how close. But there was never, never any dates set from Old Testament to New concerning the first coming, and there is no specific dates, and a clear word from God in Scripture that nobody knows the day or the hour. Date setting is not what the Scripture does, and it is what the Scripture speaks against. So the moment somebody begins to set the date, you got a problem. Whether that's Harold Camping in May 2011 coming up in the rapture, or the occult side of things, 2011, or 2012 rather, and the date December 21st, well, 2012. So I turn you over to the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Three words used: parousia, epiphany, and apocalypse. And we're to be, we're to have our hope set on the blessed hope. And we're talking about the appearing. Now, we're talking the visible apocalypse, Revelation 19. The idea of epiphany is this incredible event, but also the concept of coming, the parousia, which involves the harpezo. Now, that's, you know, the Latin word rapture is used, of course, but I love using the word harpezo, because it's a powerful word in 1 Thessalonians 4. The dead in Christ will rise first. We who are alive will be harpezo, caught up by a superior force quickly. That's what it's talking about. Caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. It's inseparably connected to 1 Corinthians 15, that in the twinkling of an eye, a flash, Greek word, atomic. On that level, the exertion of the power of God from the immaterial into the material world, the exertion of the power of God, there is the dead in Christ being raised, glorified instantly, all those who have believed, and then we who are alive, if we're here when that occurs, then without death, without experiencing death, we'll be caught up. We'll be snatched away. Obviously, to meet the Lord in the air. Look at the context when you read it. Look at the context when you read it. That same Greek word, harpezo, is used of Jesus Christ in Revelation 12 in reference to his resurrection, specifically probably his ascension, that he is harpezo, snatched up to God. When the dragon, when the full force of satanic presence was coming to destroy him, stop the cross, stop the resurrection, stop it all. Well, God in Christ blasted to pieces the work of the enemy. And the death occurred. The sin was Christ. The resurrection, as prophesied, did occur, blasting apart the finality of death, opening the door to indestructible, irreversible, irrevocable immortality, glorification. And listen, that revelation of God, of the infinite God, is beyond anything else, even in the counterfeit world of counterfeit spirituality and assurance. If you're saved, one of the things clear about salvation is, well, as 1 John 5 says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God that you might know, K-N-O-W, gnosko. Experientially know that you know that you know that you know that you have eternal life. See, I already know that I have it. I already know that it's inside of me, so that on that day, the twinkling of an eye, the trumpet call of God, and where there is a descent of the Lord Jesus, there's going to be harpezo. It's inseparably connected to the Greek word atomic, 1 Corinthians 15. A flash. That's the physics of God. And I don't care how hard you try to study in the world of physics and quantum physics and the M theory, you're not going to scratch into the infinite, untouchable physics of God. For one thing, they're beyond even the most brilliant minds. So I'm going to say clearly, Einstein could not do it. Hawking cannot do it. And that might make some physicists mad. God doesn't say, stop studying science or stop studying physics or don't look into the M theory or quantum physics. But the fact is, science has also shifted over the years. Science 500 years ago has been dropped off the map because it's no longer true. So let's make sure that when we talk about the supranatural, it is suprarational. Supra, well, it is beyond the might of the finite fallen man and woman. It simply is so far above us. And if you really want a good study, when you're looking at all the alienology, and I've gotten brand new materials we're reading into right now, it's unbelievable how much sense of credit or superiority is given the assumption that the aliens are there and that they're coming and that they are wise and that they are smart and they are so far advanced and that their populations of them are so vast. It is the realm of massive deceit. And I see the absence. The absolute absence of the revelation of the Spirit of God. You ever read in 1 Corinthians chapter 2? You ever read this? I mean, this is where it talks about the revelation. See, everybody's out there, there's many people receiving spiritual revelation. And it deals with all kinds of things. Now, I want to read to you out of 2 Corinthians. Hear these words, quote, "We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that had been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it. For if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, listen now, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. This is the physics of God, the greatness of God, the grandeur of God, the superiority of God, the brilliance of God, the physics of God, but it's also a revelation of the personal, relational nature of God. Let me read it again at the end of verse, or the middle of verse 9. However, as it is written, listen, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. Verse 10, but God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. Uncreated, eternal, God, he, the Holy Spirit. Going on in verse 10, quote, the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? See, I know myself better than you know me. I know myself. I sit back and I can reflect on myself. I can think about what I'm doing. So internally, I know more about me than you know about me. It doesn't matter how much research reconnaissance agents and those on the other side have done, and they send me information and they send me everything, and they go to every single every single radio broadcast we do and every single interview that we do. And well, that's okay, but you don't know me. Most don't know my middle name. Most don't know how old I am. Most don't know a lot of things. Most of you have never seen, the picture, that's right. The picture's about 3.5, 4 years old. And let me tell you something. I can reveal to you things out of what I know. I can tell you about when I was 5. I can tell you what school I went to, what kindergarten class, and the name of Mrs. Angeletti, David Hill Grade School, Akron, Ohio. Now, I just unveiled things that you didn't know. You could have come up to, now you could have done research and record searches and things like that. You can go so far, but there's things you don't know about me. Most of you have no idea what my first car was. Now, I drove my mom and dad's Corvair, a 1964 Corvair. It was either that or drive the 1963 kind of lime, greenish, Bel Air station wagon. So I drove the white Corvair a lot. Engine in the back. Used to fool people by saying, can you check the radiator? And they go towards the front. There's nothing in the front. Now, you don't know what kind of car was my first car as a teenager. You know what it was? A 1967 Chevelle Super Sport. It was a 396, the engine size, 396, with 454 heads, fuel injector. It was a 4-speed Muncie. It was a kind of a metal flake blue, original color, black interior. It was screaming hot back in those days. I got in a lot of trouble with it. But now you know. I revealed something to you that most would never know. Please understand that we can search, we can look at, and you know what the scriptures collectively is considered special revelation. It is massive. I can sit here and say, you know what? I have studied it. I've been to 5-6 schools. I have thousands of books. I've gone through, not so much Hebrew, but 20 some years of the Greek, the manuscripts, translation. Looking at all of it across the board and study and study and study and study and study and study and study. But I'm blown away by what's still there. to be reminded of, to learn, to put together, to see all afresh. So, yeah, I have a deep pursuit of studying the Word of God to this very day. Because it's vital. And I want to say again to those who need to understand that dark spirits bring revelations to people. By vision, by dream, by contact. Alice Bailey had what she called the Tibetans speaking and guiding. Literally, they would say she was fused with that spirit as it brought dictation. Do you understand the inspiration of Scripture, the Holy Spirit of God guiding 40 writers from three continents, three languages over a 1,600-year period, the most attested to manuscripts in history, archaeologically, manuscript-wise, tradition-wise? On a human scale, it's beyond anything else. But the words are alive. They're living. And by these words, you can be woken up to believe. Hey, faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word. That is true before you come to Christ, but that's also true as you're growing. It still builds your faith. And so when I read these words, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. You're right. And of all the spectacular revelation that God has given, all that God has unveiled, all that God has put down, well, we've got glimpses of what is to come. I'm told towards the end of the book of Revelation that I get to see God in my glorified body, and that's the physics of God, indestructible, irreversible, irrevocable, immortal. I'll be able to look at God face to face in the theological understanding of the locality of God. That's going to be astounding, let alone the angelic beings and the heavens. I mean, do you understand the physical universe as big as it is? Let me say this to the scientists, astronomers, the physicists, as big as it all is, it's just a little handful of sand in comparison to the heavens. Vast. It is so vast, you wonder whether in a lifetime you could ever really see it all. Most of you listening, well, many have never even been out of their own country. And we're talking about being in the kingdom of God. Well, it's all coming down, and we're in the days in which so many are talking about, the end of time. I mean, it's in the air, it's in the discussion, it's in the web, it's occult, you know, revelations out there. There's all kinds of things all over the place. Literally all over the place. It's vast in what is being, unleashed. And so that's why everybody's looking at, looking at these end time events. And we need to be able to have what is clear and right. We also need, listen, by what is clear and by what is already there and what we know, well, that should be the standard by which anything else is told, we're able to scrutinize. The deepest revelation is what comes from God. The absolute truest, if I can say it that way, revelation is what comes from God. So when it comes to the end of days, when it comes to the return of Christ, when it comes to all of this, well, there is massive good content. I think that's why when I was doing some more looking, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on Harold Camping. And I'm going to tell you why, because in doing just a few pages of research and looking at YouTube videos, including, because I was going to call him. I was going to call him and see if he would talk to me, and if I could deal with him, if I could see if he's really saved, if I could lead him out of the, I mean, that's, I don't know, maybe I'll still do that. But when I listened to him on some of the videos, and then I saw others that were calling in talking to him, the deception is deep. It is vast. It is stubbornly, deeply within. I mean, he really believes what he's talking about, and it's false. So here's the issue. 2 Thessalonians 2, concerning the coming of our Lord, that's the parousia of our Lord Jesus Christ, and our being gathered to him, the dead in Christ shall rise first, we who are alive be caught up, harpezo, that's the glorification. That's considered the first resurrection. Now, being gathered to Christ in the air. The Spirit of God goes on through Paul to say, we ask you, brethren, both the men and the women, look at verse 2. Nail it down clearly. It's vital that you hear it. Do not become easily unsettled or alarmed by some prophecy, report, or letter supposed to have come from us saying that the day of the Lord has already come. Breaking that down a little bit, we want to take it over and look at some of the words. And literally, that ye be not soon shaken, moved, stirred up, disheveled, disturbed, you know. And really, it's kind of a rebuke. It's kind of a word coming, you know, it's really, you know, a word coming to give an exhortation to those who already have the Word of God laid in their life, but listen, because by some false spiritual inspiration, they got different information. By some word, prophecy or something else maybe, and even a written letter, pseudographa or pseudographa, they got even letters that were that was claiming to come from the apostle. And all of this was a barrage to claim that the day of Christ or the day of the Lord has already occurred. So the Spirit of God is saying, you know, don't be shaken so quickly. And as a believer in Christ, if you know the Word of God systematically, clearly, experientially in your walk, so much so that you can quote it, so much so that you rely on it, so much so that it strengthens you, so much so that it becomes the living grid, powerful living grid in your life, by which knowing the true, knowing the truth, knowing it well, that when false and error, even when it comes on a small level at first, see, when error comes, it might start small, but it always has a goal of being very big. It is sad to see that someone out there that has given all of his life to all kinds of studies and everything else, but it's not about men. It's about the authority, the clarity. The Word of God's never off. I mean, people can get into allegorical interpretation, scripture twisting. Let me mention a couple of things. When it comes to the end of days, even in the book of Peter, it talks about how some are twisting the scripture to their own destruction. They are taking the scripture out of context. Here's what I'm convinced of based on Matthew 4 and based on my experience in hundreds of exorcisms. Satan himself and the demons, knowing their nature, okay, they're spiritual beings. Knowing their nature, though, two things. Even when they know Scripture, based on their nature, they cannot and they will not unveil the Scripture in its pure truth consistently. And if you look at Matthew 4, you'll see how Satan tried to use Scripture, twisting it so that the end result of its use would be Jesus walking out in disobedience and bowing down to the finite fallen cherub. And that'd be nuts. So Jesus just stands on the Word of God, quotes out of the book of Deuteronomy. There was his victory. There's your example. I mean, he knew it so well that he could quote it in the context of Ephesians 6. Do you know the Word of God so well, the truth, the Word, the sword of the Spirit, that you're able to quote it? See, every lie that comes from the enemy, listen, I'm going to tell you what, there's a infallible, powerful truth, a word, a scripture, to be spoken back. Don't be afraid of the devil. Be always prepared, knowing your authority in Christ, to say, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. Even just saying, Lord Jesus, deliver me from the enemy. But stand your ground. Don't, as God says here now, let anybody so quickly, so easily, you know, push you off your strong, growing walk in Christ. Now, I'm going to tell you something that happened today. This is weird. Are you ready? I got a text. Very few people know my cell phone number. I got a text. I didn't recognize the number where it came from, but the text was saying, hey, are we going out tonight? So I text back, where? I don't do very good texting, but I text, like, you know, what's going on? And they said, are we going to a bar in the Kent area of Ohio? A bar, a party bar. And I think I texted back something like, what are we going to do, whatever else. And they, well, drink and do karaoke. So I really realized whoever this is has probably, and it might be somebody, I wonder if it's somebody I know, but they have sent it. They think they're sending it to somebody else, but they sent it to me. So I write back, you know, like, who are you? You know, I just put a W. Are you? Who are you? They thought I meant where. And so they wrote back, they're at work. And I said, no, not where. Who are you? And I sent another text right afterwards saying, I think you sent a text to the wrong person. They texted me back, LOL. I texted them back. Who did you think you were texting? They wouldn't say. It's going to be interesting if I show up there tonight. See, we've done a lot of bar evangelism. So it might just be that bar evangelism is in the mix tonight, and we're going to see who it is maybe that has sent this text. You know, it's important to lead folks to Christ. It's important to lead brothers and sisters who are stumbling, you know, out of that. And that would be true concerning this issue, concerning those who are troubled by false report, false word, false prophecy, whatever it may be. Now, let me just mention again these things. It can come to scripture twisting. It can come to false, allegorical, personally imposed meanings. Once you open the door to allegory to all of scripture, especially the book of Revelation, book of Daniel, things like that, you can make up anything. The two witnesses, they could be your grandpa and your grandma. The Antichrist, that could be a statue in Rome. You can begin to say, well, this is what it means. This is what that means. This is what, you know. And listen, when somebody comes and says, well, God gave me a vision on this section of scripture, and God's vision has now clarified the meaning, and the meaning is clear that Jesus Christ is not God, and a whole new special revelation begins to be written out, like with the Mormons, like with the Jehovah's Witnesses, that supersede the Word of God and always contradict the Word of God and always present, because when it comes from the dark side, in every case, it will always present a de-deified, non-personally saving Savior Christ, but a different, lesser, always lesser. Listen, falsely added revelation. What about numerology? You know what? In the prophecies of the Old Testament of Christ coming the first time, none of this is involved. Didn't need to twist scripture. Didn't need to apply allegory or personally imposed meanings. You didn't need to add any outside revelations that contradict. And you didn't need to use numerology. You cannot interpret scripture by a cult-oriented process. I watched one individual, Whitney Strieber, try to do this with kind of an astrological interpretations. And it'll always come out false. It is the Spirit of God that helps make known clearly and systematically the revelation that He has given. Every verse is His Word. It is the language of God the Holy Spirit. So when we read things like Harold Camping claiming that the star in Revelation 9, you know, that comes to open the abyss, that or comes down, that's the Lord Jesus. Wrong, or a red light. And again, scripture interpreting scripture. There's just no connection there. When he talks about the two witnesses, he says, well, those are just the true believers who are driven out of churches. Well, no, they are real individuals representing the body of Christ and Israel, the lampstand and the olive, you know, the tree. So you have a representation of both sides that for 3.5 years are going to unleash massive, enormous witness of Christ, prophecy, sign and wonder. It's going to be so global and so powerful, the Antichrist can't stop it until the middle when their work is done. Only when their work is done. Now, worse in all of the things that Harold Camping is bringing out, I'm looking at 4 or 5 websites, and I appreciate a lot of these folks that have gone ahead. That's why I'm not going to spend detail on it, because there's too much up there already. Those of you that know the Lord, that know the Scripture, you know how to do things. Well, the beast and the false prophet, they're only pictures of Satan? As he ruled in the churches? Really? So Daniel talking about the little horn, 1 John, the Antichrist to come, the man of lawlessness, the beast. You know, this is only pictures of Satan as he's ruling in the churches in the tribulation days. Again, false, absolutely false, and very clear, no date to be set, very clear. You know, when the Lord returns and the dead in Christ rise and we who are alive are harpezo, caught up to meet the Lord in glorification. Well, what does the Scripture teach then? Well, it's very... I mean, if you look at the background of, well, Harold Camping's connection, there's a lot of... well, there is some Seventh-day Adventistism, a little bit of that in his past. Jehovah's Witness... there's one individual involved in some of the teaching of former Presbyterian. And you can look, do the studies if you want. And I just want to come out today to say that in the mix of all that is going on in the world around us, here's part of what's happening. And I believe that if we understand Scripture, scoffers will come. They're going to say, where is the coming? And they're going to be making fun. They're going to be mocking. Now, what real believer filled with the Spirit of God would do that? And then you're going to have people like Harold Camping coming out with a massive twisting of Scripture, personally imposing allegorical and personal meanings that, well, one rule in interpretation is Scripture interpreting Scripture. Scripture interpreting Scripture. That there's meaning here, you know, in one area and in another area. You're going to find that... Scripture helps bring clarity to itself by other scripture so that no one verse can be pulled out of context and be turned into somebody's personal twisting, allegory, or whatever else. As a matter of fact, how are we to look at the last or the end of days? Jesus taught something very clear, and again, I think I would rather go back to Jesus and what he said and what he taught and take a look again at what he said, because here is great clarity. Because some people get so confused, like, I don't want to do any of these studies again. No. Just go back and read and read and read and read and read, and you're going to see that individuals that give allegory and special revelation and twist and do all kinds of crazy stuff with it, although they're wrong and it doesn't fit, and the Scripture itself speaks and says that they're wrong. Now, in Matthew 24, the disciples were there. They're walking away from a temple. They wanted to know. The question was about the end of days. They're asking Jesus, when will this happen? And here's the question in verse 3. What will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? Both are assumed. Both are taught. There's going to be the coming of Christ and the end of this age and a millennium to come. Jesus begins in Matthew 24, 4. That's where it all begins. And the first words out of the mouth of the Lord Jesus, watch out that no one deceives you. That matches teaching in 1 John, 2 Thessalonians 2, it's very clear. He's telling everybody that many are going to come in his name. They're going to claim they're the Christ, just like in the New Age movement, just like among 2012 stuff. Someone I was reading the other day had the audacity to say that Quetzalcoatl, who sacrificed human beings, who was Nephilim-oriented and totally demonic, that he's a good type of Christ, that they're similar, that they're both Christs. What a horrific... I mean, is that a purposeful lie? Is the person writing this material that far off and doesn't understand? Quetzalcoatl is nothing like the Lord Jesus. Well, I don't want to go there yet, but I want to say this. End of days, number one issue out of the words and mouth of the Lord Jesus, deception. False things will come. Then verse 6, wars and rumors of wars. And then we're told not to be alarmed. Such things must happen. The end is still to come. Nations are going to rise against nations. Famines, earthquakes. Now, you can go read the entire, all of this. It includes the abomination that causes desolation that Daniel spoke about. And so when you read all of this, it absolutely shreds Harold Camping and the false teaching. This also clarifies the issues of 2012, the Mayan prophecies. You know what I did today? I was watching, I actually bought new documentaries and other films, and I'm watching all of these astronomers, scientists, and others looking at all of the calendar and prophecies and looking at all the astronomy and astrology and everything else. I'm seeing them among the temples, and I'm watching them as they're talking about December 21st. They're all saying, yes, massive, something big, maybe a massive chaos, could be the cleansing of the earth. Even now, there are those that visit Mayan shaman, and the shamans are telling them they feel bad for all the white people. They're going to be wiped off the face of the earth. The earth's going to cleanse itself, and then a new age, a golden age. Let me tell you something. All of the Mayan prophecy, all of the Mayan forecasting is off the backs of ritual sacrifice of human beings by the thousands. And as I watch these documentaries, not one of those individuals mentioned it. They didn't tell you the truth. They didn't tell you that occult satanic prophecies came off the backs of the bloodshed of humanity. Jesus Christ, Lord of heaven and earth, do you know him? We pray that you do. This is Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web. We are at the end of the hour. Keep us in your prayers. Keep us in support. We love you. God bless. Good night.